It is about me being honest about my own mistakes and my own challenges and saying, Lord, these are my problems. And the more open and honest I am about those things, the better I am. You and I, friends, cannot change anything in our lives if we're not first willing to admit it. Have you ever found anyone, or don't even look at others, just look at your own moments in your own life. Have you ever been able to change and fix anything that you didn't first admit was a problem? Confession is about acknowledging, for me personally, to come to terms. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, you recall when Nathan comes to him and has to kind of give him a story about a guy who lost his pet lamb at the hands of another fellow who had plenty. And David's ready to go and say, let's go find that fella. I'll have him put to death. And Nathan says to him, thou art the man. You're the guy, David. You're the guy. And in verse 13, David makes this great acknowledgement. He simply says, I have sinned against God the Father. I'm responsible for this. The first step in changing anything in my life or in your life, the first step to any change that we're ever going to make in our lives is first acknowledging I need to change. I've never met anybody who changed anything if they didn't first note that it needed to be changed. Confession is about acknowledging those things and being open about them. It doesn't help you or I to hide the facts. It doesn't help you or I to try to think that somehow God is unaware. Confession is good for us. And the Father says, if you're faithful, if you will acknowledge, if you will own up, if you will hold yourself accountable, I will forgive you. Kind of forgiveness that wipes the slate clean. And God the Father says, I will restore you. The Son came in verse 21 and says, I'm not worthy to even be called a servant in your house. And the Father in verse 22 simply says to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. May I suggest to you tonight, friends, that the Father restored his son to full fellowship. He said, no. You are not coming back into my, you are my child, you are my son. You are not coming back in this house as a servant. He tells the servants, go get a robe. You put it on and put a ring on his hand and you go get the best calf we've got and you slay it. We are going to celebrate tonight because my son has returned. That which was lost has been found. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9, I want you to notice with me. Paul says to those in Corinth, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Preach it, right? Preach it. That's right. Tell those folks that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those things are unrighteous and separate from God. Don't stop yet. Yes, all of those things will keep me from the kingdom of God. All of those things are works of the flesh. All of those things are sinful and will keep me distanced from God. But don't forget verse 11 when he says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You mean to tell me that there were recovering homosexuals in the church at Corinth? And all I can say to you is that's what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said there were homosexuals and idolaters and adulterers. There were all kinds of sins that those who were members at Corinth had at one point in their lives been guilty of, but they found sanctification and justification and a cleansing that could only come from God. What I'm trying to get all of us to see tonight, friends, is this simple thought. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I don't care what you have done. I am concerned that we have created such stigmas on certain types of sins that we have almost put fear in people from wanting to repent and return to God because they're afraid of what others might say about their return. I know of a case where some young converts who were just learning about the will of God. And as they learned and they found things about their lives that needed to be changed, they were willing to confess those things and acknowledge them. On one evening, they hadn't been baptized maybe 2 or 3 months earlier. And one evening, they came forward and acknowledged that drinking had been a part of their past life. And as they had studied Scripture, they began to realize that it was something that they needed to put away and stop doing. And can you believe one sister in the congregation at that place walked up to one of them afterwards and said, "I just can't believe you'd ever do that." Are you kidding me? Here are two souls who have just learned about their Savior just 2 or 3 months prior. And here they are, open and penitent and just wanting to do what is right and willing to acknowledge before people and their God that here are some things that need to be changed. And your response to them is, "I don't believe you would ever do that." How dare you? What's wrong with us? God the Father said, "I ran and met them halfway and threw my arms around them and gave them a hug, and you kicked them in the teeth." What's wrong with us? Brother and friend, can I encourage you tonight to recognize